Episode 44, Star Wars, a Bad Robot Production. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/strangers. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend's plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God? The very first thing that God did,
so wise you are,
was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Strangers and Aliens. Our name is Strangers and Aliens because we're a little bit strange and a little alien. I'm Dr. Jace O'Neill, along here with Ben Avery and Steve MacDonald.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, I'm Ben Avery. And I'm also here with Steve MacDonald and Dr. Jace O'Neill.
And I'm Steve MacDonald.
There's applause going on in the background.
I'm here with myself.
And
also Dr. Jace and Ben Avery. I think we got it covered. Let's do it.
So,
how have you guys been doing?
Not bad.
Yeah, good. Pretty good.
Not bad. I just finished the script for the Job comic book that I've been working on.
Yeah, I've been seeing that on Facebook. Are you glad to have that?
Oh, I'm very glad.
It's a good Job if you can get it.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
So,
I didn't know if I was going to be able to record this week. I'm tired. Fall asleep.
I'm still wondering if we're going to be able to record this week, because there's some real fuzz going on here.
Really?
Yeah.
You're fuzzier than usual.
Yeah, but I think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Does that make any difference?
No.
You sound further away.
This is just proof positive that we need people to join up with Audible.com, where they go to audible.com/strangers, sign up for a free 1 month trial, and it gives us money so we can buy Dr. Jace a microphone.
Yeah.
Yes, I need a microphone.
Right now he has like one of his earbuds, and he's like plugged that into the microphone jack, and
then he has a soup can plugged into the other one.
If we're lucky.
What have you been up to, Steve?
Driving buses. It's been crazy week of driving buses.
But I hear there's all sorts of cool stories with driving buses.
There are some. Yeah, it's a fun job. There's a little intricacies, you know, on the radio. You know, you think you're driving a bus, but there's, you know, 20, 30 other people out there driving buses, and someone has a problem, like, every day. You know, there's a police officer blocking a street, or a child is left at the school and have to double back. So it's always like these little things, and sometimes it's a big thing. So it's kind of interesting, you know.
I hear that driving a bus is great research for writing.
It could be, yeah. Unfortunately, you can't use, like, the names and the actual things that the kids say, because that would be, you know,
well, with children, there's obviously a level of privacy that you really have to be careful about. But
and getting kindergartners to sign the affidavit—that's the trouble.
They can't even write their own name. I mean,
just put an X there, honey, and get off the bus.
So we had already planned what we were going to do for this episode, and we are junking what we had planned to do because there was big news that just came out.
Well, we're just going to put it back on the
this
list.
Afternoon. Oh, I don't think we're going to put it back on the list.
Ben,
it's just trashed.
No, we're not.
Ben,
we're not. What?
You guys didn't ask me how my week went.
Oh, sorry.
I was about to, and then Ben jumped right in.
Well, I've been trying to get this moving because, you know, Jace is tired. And
so what's up, Jace? What are you up to?
Well, we had our grand opening this weekend.
Oh.
I know. How was it?
And Ben's just skipping right over us.
That's great. Okay, so there's big news today.
Yeah, what? He's
tell
so
us.
Geeked out.
Tell us,
so,
man.
I think Steve, we should just draw it out just so he like wets himself.
I thought that you had already done your big opening.
No, this was our grand opening.
Okay.
And aren't you even following it?
I am, because I saw pictures of them like in a big group on the stage and like praying.
That was when our home church sent us out.
Oh, okay. I didn't read what the pictures were. No, we live in a visual society now. I did not read the words that accompanied the pictures. I just looked at the pictures and assumed.
If we're doing a visual society, why are we doing a podcast?
We've been trying to figure out how to do a video podcast without, you know, just ripping off the Sci-Fi Christian. And okay, so back to you, Jace. Back to you, Dr. Jace.
Yes, yes.
Your church plant. You had your opening service. How was it like? How'd it go?
Awesome. It's really great for our team to be able to see. We had a really good turnout, but the most important thing was I gave an altar call, and there were 5 to 8 people who said that they wanted to, for the first time, commit their lives to Christ. And then there were about 30 to 50 people who had walked work, but they said that that they wanted to rededicate their lives to Christ. I'm not sure what the state of theirs was, but they came. We, surprising for our very, very first service, we had 300 people show up. And,
wow.
So it was great, because afterwards people were mingling. People were like, oh, we've been looking for a church. And other people were like, I haven't gone to church in forever. And some people were like, I never go to church. So it was a really good time afterwards. They were connecting and talking. And this is something you like in some of our fans. One of my opening stories, because I was talking about redemption, and I talked about Han Solo. And one of my opening things was, okay, the guy's a smuggler. He's kind of a jerk. And no matter what George Lucas tries to convince us in the new movies, he shot the green alien first, which was hilarious. I got a huge applause for that. It was a good start.
Nice.
That's funny.
Excellent.
Yep.
Okay, now can we talk about our topic?
I don't know, Steve. I still want to hear about how your kids are doing.
Well, it's funny. It's a sort of a multifaceted thing. Let me get into the first of 17 points that I have. Before then, I guess we could record the episode.
Yeah, yeah. So here's the deal. Last I heard, with the whole Lance Armstrong thing, that was all in the news. And then you hear that J.J. Abrams is prepping a movie about Lance Armstrong.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. That was last weekend. And I'm thinking to myself, that's interesting. And then the news comes out today and I realize what he was doing. He was trying to do stuff, you know, to keep himself in the public eye so that he would still be in the running for this movie here that we're going to talk about right now. You know, how you know, movie stars have to go out and they have to, like, you know, do publicity stunts and things like that so that the people remember that they're still around. And I think that's what J.J. Abrams is doing when he was like, I'm still relevant. I'm going to do something about Lance Armstrong.
How do you forget about J.J. Abrams, though?
So anyway.
Sorry. I didn't know you were going somewhere with it.
Oh, no. Just this is what we're talking about today is J.J. Abrams. The big news today, J.J. Abrams apparently is going to be directing the Star Wars Episode 7 movie.
Apparently.
Now, I'm only 90% certain this is true because everything I've read, nothing cites an actual source.
Yeah, and I've looked at a couple different places. They all say that it's true, but I haven't seen an official commitment from Disney. So my question is this, because I hear that J. Abrams or would rather have Ben Affleck directing Episode 7.
Yeah, did you either of you see Argo?
I sort of wanted to, but I didn't get a chance to.
It was a really well-made movie. I was actually surprised how good this was. And it showed me that, really, Ben Affleck, he has talent in that area. He is a talented director. Yeah. And there were some problems with the movie. But honestly, you're just trying to nitpick now. I mean, this is if I were to look for the problems in Argo, it would basically be like Steve trying to find the problems in, you know, The Dark Knight.
Hey, you, wait a minute.
You can look past the problems. So Dr. Chase, what was your initial reaction when you first saw this news? Because you emailed me. I had not heard of it until you emailed me. What was your initial reaction when you heard the news, Dr. Chase?
I actually was, you know, skeptical that it was true, but I actually think it's a good choice. I mean, he already resurrected the Star Trek franchise, so I'm actually kind of excited to see what he does. This is indeed true. I know Ben Affleck was in the running, and I think that would have been an interesting choice. But J.J. Abrams, he knows how to do popcorn movies. Why not?
Steve, what was your initial reaction?
Well, initially I said to myself, oh no, you know, a Star Trek guy doing Star Wars, how good can that be? But, you know, after I thought about it for like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, I said, you know, well, if someone came to me and said, you know, we'll give you the option of doing a Star Wars movie or a Star Trek movie, or if you wanted to, you could do both. I have ideas that I could run with in both things, and I'm not a huge Hollywood producer. So I'm sure someone who's in the business would probably have a lot of ideas in a whole lot of franchises as well. So I said to myself, you know, I'm not going to think like a jerk and just say that, you know, someone's only good for one franchise and he's going to stink in the other, or he's going to turn, you know, Chewbacca into a Vulcan or something like that. Obviously, I mean, it's the stupid things that go through your head first. But, you know, a talented person can pick something up and do something else.
Yeah.
So
what I think about J.J. Abrams is that whenever he focuses on a project and it's his thing, I think he usually does a pretty good job. The problem comes is when he has so many things going on, and then he starts a project and he hands it off and leaves it to other people, and then it starts to go on the decline. So,
which is what usually happens in television for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but with Star Wars, he can't do that, because if it happens with Star Wars, that could just end everything, even for J.J. Abrams. So he has to make Star Wars good.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a very big burden to bear doing this.
There's going to be enough people involved in it that if someone was going to step out of line and say, you know, Luke Skywalker's middle name is, you know, Jedi or something. I mean, obviously, there's going to be enough people that are going to be able to pull people back in line. Yeah. So
Luke Danger Skywalker. Danger is my middle name. So my initial reaction was, this is good.
I thought you were going to say Luke Bernard Skywalker.
I was going to go for Ralph originally. Luke Ralph Skywalker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't wreck it.
Or he has a twin, you know.
Wait a minute.
Well, yeah, he has a triplet. He has a triplet. Okay.
Triplet.
Yeah. So there's Luke Skywalker, Leia Skywalker, and Hinkley Skywalker.
Who's played by Robin Williams?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be funny. In each of the additional movies, they keep finding, like, you know, the next one they find the triplet, and then the next one it's going to be a quadruplet, and, you know, they keep finding one more.
You know, they're doing that with the Twins franchise. They're turning Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger into a franchise.
In Star Wars, I think the bigger thing was to find out Luke and Leia aren't brother and sister. And then it throws everything out of Luke with the love triangle.
So there is another twin out there. Hinkley's out there somewhere. Hinkley Skywalker.
Hanley. They had to change his name to Hanley.
Hanley,
remember?
But they already have Han Solo.
Remember in Greatest American Hero?
Yes.
Ralph Hinkley, and then what's his name? Hinkley shot
Reagan.
Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And so they quickly changed his name in the second season to Ralph Hanley instead of Ralph.
Well, but
Hinkley.
They never actually said his name in the first season. They had a jet pass over when he actually revealed his last name because it was in an airport. And so he never actually said his last name in first season because of Hinkley from...
What a train wreck.
Anyway, so we've got J.J. Abrams. I thought initially, I mean, this just sounds like a great thing. A lot of people complained that Star Trek 2009 was Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't Star Trek. It was Star Wars. And he comes at it from the Star Wars, you know, angle. I do have a couple quotes here from J.J. Abrams. And since we don't have the audio, I'm going to bring over Shazbot. And he is going to read these for us. But this is what he said about, originally said about directing a Star Trek or a Star Wars movie.
Abrams set to Hollywood life. Look, Star Wars is one of my favorite movies of all time. I frankly feel that hyphen I almost feel that, in a weird way, the opportunity for whomever it is to direct that movie, it comes with the burden of being that kind of iconic movie and series. I was never a big Star Trek fan growing up, so for me, working on Star Trek didn't have any of that, you know, almost fatal sacrilege, and so, I am looking forward more than anyone to the next iterations of Star Wars, but I believe I will be going as a paying moviegoer.
And then he also said this.
Abrams said to Empire magazine, Kathy Kennedy is a friend and there are no smarter producers. It's in great hands. There were the very early conversations and I quickly said that because of my loyalty to Star Trek, and also just being a fan, I wouldn't even want to be involved in the next version of those things. I declined any involvement very early on. I'd rather be in the audience not knowing what was coming, rather than being involved in the minutiae of making them.
So those are his initial reactions when people were talking about who's going to direct Star Wars.
Well, let me ask you this. If it's not J.J. Abrams, who would be your guy to direct Star Wars, the next one? Who would it be?
See, that's a tough question because I don't know. What about you?
Not for me. Well, I know.
You know
I
right know. Away? Okay, who?
I do. Well, no, Steve, what about you?
Steve?
Fine, I'll go first. If I could choose anybody right now, I could change my mind. I would go with Joss Whedon.
Yeah, I could see that happening and working, but
It can't happen because he's wrapped up with Marvel.
Right.
But I think he would do the franchise justice and add to it.
Yeah, no, definitely. One big difference is with Star Trek, there was no way he could make it. There's no way the franchise could go worse than it already was in. People weren't going to the movies. They weren't going to see Star Trek in theaters. They weren't paying lots of money to see Star Trek. And so therefore, they were in a tough spot. And so with Star Wars, though, that's a living, thriving franchise. And it's a fairly energetic franchise. He infused energy into Star Trek, which is what it was really missing as far as trying to get regular people into the seats. Star Wars already has that. What he brings to Star Wars is, I think he has a good grasp of character. He may not have a good grasp of like bringing strong, powerful themes into a popcorn movie, but he can do the themes when it's not a popcorn movie. He wrote Regarding Henry, for goodness sake, you know, and he can do character. And that's what we need. And that's what was missing from Star Wars, in my opinion. In the prequels, it was a lot of the problems for me were came down to character and not having engaging characters. So.
Yeah. And being a slave somehow to the history that you've created, it just seemed like putting actors through their paces. You know, it was just sort of like, this has to happen. There's going to be something bad that happens here. Okay, there it goes.
So, Steve, who would you want to direct?
I think Whedon would be a good choice. Yeah. You know, I'm still, really enjoying the Avengers, and how that was just completely, just taken. You know, everything was done for him. He had all the characters in the pipeline, and then he takes them and pulls them all together, and pretty much that's what you have with the Star Wars universe. You have the characters have already been set up, so all he has to do is pull them together in a new way and send them on their way.
Have you guys heard, I don't even remember who it was, or I heard that somebody else was tagged to direct a different Star Wars movie, but it won't be part of the trilogy. It's like a separate story, and it's going to be a little bit more grown up.
That turned out to be a false rumor.
Okay.
But they were talking about Zack Snyder.
That's true.
Doing Seven Samurai in Star Wars.
That's what it was.
He denied it.
In the Star Wars comic books, it was the first plot line in the Star Wars comic books from Marvel.
See, when I heard of Ben Affleck in the running, I thought he'd be a better choice for like a rogue Star Wars kind of sub story, because of his movies tend to be very deep and or very kind of gritty. So I thought maybe that would be a good choice for him. I've never seen him do a real popcorn movie. Maybe he's probably capable of doing it. I just haven't seen him do that.
You know, Jason, answer to your question of who would I have chosen or who would I have thought to go to, I think J.J. Abrams would be the first one I would think of because of what he did with Star Trek.
Yeah, no, he would definitely be in my top five of people that I would have originally thought of, yes. With another, you know, what's his name? He did Captain America. Brett Bird?
No, Captain America, the director of, he also did Rocketeer.
Yes. What's his name?
I don't know, because he's involved in Star Wars.
No, yeah, exactly.
He designed Boba Fett. Yeah.
So I thought, because he's gone on and done all sorts of different things, including Captain America. And I thought, I can't think of his name to save my life, but I thought they would consider him strongly because of his ties to the franchise already. Plus his success, you know, Captain America was a pretty good movie.
Yeah. And it was fun and it was popcorn, you know, but there's some character stuff and some themes going on and
is it Kevin Feige?
No, Kevin Feige is the guy who's like, he's a producer on all these movies. He's part of the brain trust behind the Marvel movies.
So. I can't believe I forgot his name.
Yeah, and I refuse to look it up on Wikipedia.
Directed by Joe Johnston.
Joe Johnston. Yay!
That's exactly what it was. I was wanting to say Joe Johnson, but I'm like, no, that's a basketball player.
Thank you, Wikipedia. But I did. I'm just in my defense here. I looked it up a different way first.
Sure.
Just pulled up Wikipedia. That's all.
Well, I think that if it is J.J. Abrams, that we're going to have a really fun, exciting movie, and I think it's going to be a good movie. That's my initial reaction. I did instantly think, okay, so now lightsabers are going to have like a new power where you can throw your enemy off guard because it throws off this huge lens flare every time you light it up kind of thing.
I was thinking that this episode 7 would put Han, Princess Leia, and Luke on an island, and they don't know where the island is. They're trying to get off the island.
Well, it won't be an island; it'll be a planet. You know, they'll be on a planet. They can't get off. They're having flashbacks. It opens with Han Solo's eye opening.
Yeah, exactly. But and, you know and what? The thing is that, they don't have Chewie. They have a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, Han Solo's eye opens and then Chewie walks in and starts, you know, licking his face or whatever.
You know, Joe Johnston, actually, this is from IMDb. He wrote one episode of the Droids TV series.
That's great.
Wow. So that was completely random.
So.
I will say this. I liked the Droids series. I did.
I was still having fun comparing Star Wars to Law. I was really wanting to take that further.
Well, and then, you know, then they'll have the crazy scientist who's on drugs and who, you know, broke down the barriers between another universe.
It's too late, Ben. We've moved beyond the Lost Curse.
Well, I was going into Fringe, but...
Marianne and the movie star.
Yeah. And then, you know, the guy in red with the white hat who's the devil.
Get this. Hold on a second. This is still IMDb. Joe Johnston, get this. He was a Death Star trooper in Star Wars in 1977.
Yeah.
Yes, He's been attached to Star Wars forever.
I know. Well, he was in Star Wars. I mean, how amazing. He has two acting titles, and one of them is Star Wars. He has one writing credit, and it's Droids.
So back to J.J. Abrams.
Back to J.J. Abrams, who actually probably is doing this, although I'm only 90% along with it because no one's citing their sources here. But there's no sources that are approving this, that are saying that it's true.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What are you hoping to see in this new movie? Not the entire trilogy, but this episode 7. What would you like it to be based around?
Well, we've talked about this a little bit, but age the characters from the original trilogy appropriately as far as how old they are right now. Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill is the age that Alec Guinness was when he was first playing Obi-Wan Kenobi. Put him in a mentor role. And then you have Han and Leia and Chewbacca, and you just have those characters, but the movie is not about them. They are sending off and preparing another generation of heroes for another big evil.
Theoretically, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. Do you think Mark Hamill has what it takes to be an Obi-Wan Kenobi or, because he's not Alec Guinness and
Ian McGregor.
He's not Liam Neeson. Yeah. He's not that.
Don't write him that way, though. Write him as Luke Skywalker, and have him second guessing himself because he never had a mentor the way that he needs to be a mentor, and have his story arc being having to overcome his own doubts and. He has to step into that role of mentor. And so you have the hero's journey for him in this smaller story arc that he has in someone else's movie is for him to actually step up and be that mentor character that needs to be, that he needs to be. Because he's the only one who knows the Force the way a Jedi is supposed to.
I don't want to get too much doubt because otherwise I don't want another remake of, no, he can't be.
He can act, though. I mean, he has some chops. He's not just a ham, although he can be.
It was early on in his career, and I think they for whatever reason they wanted him to play it over the top. He had to be the prototypical hero. He couldn't just be a regular hero.
Well, look what he did between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. He did Little Red Corvette, and then he crashed his Corvette. I mean, that's what he did between those two movies. So,
wasn't he in Laser Blast as well?
No. Jace, have you listened to our movies that were made because of Star Wars episode yet?
No.
Okay. We want to get your reaction to it someday, maybe. But we also want to do a follow-up because we missed a bunch of really bad, bad Star Wars clones. So, anyway... okay, so here's the thing. Look at J.J. Abrams' track record. Positive track record, right? I mean, everything he's done, everything he has touched has been decent, right? Can you think of anything that you weren't real pleased with that he's done?
Well, I watched Friends with high hopes and lost interest after the first season.
But again, he wasn't around.
No, exactly. That's point is, and then Lost had its ups and downs. I love most of Lost, but then he had his things. But no, I mean, I would say that Super 8 was good.
I have not seen Mission Impossible 3 yet.
I did.
I own it and intended to watch it, but I've not seen it yet.
What are you talking about?
Didn't you do the third one?
You're talking about, three with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, yeah. I have not seen
that. Yes. I've seen all of them, including the most recent one, Ghost Protocol. And I will say the third one, I think, is probably the best out of the bunch.
Which is saying something, because they're not bad.
No.
I do find it...
Person of Interest, Fringe, Alcatraz got canceled too early.
Yeah, but again, those are TV shows. He directed the pilot for Lost, which is fantastic, one of the best pilots ever.
ever.
I don't know. Did he direct the pilot for Fringe? We're gonna have
I don't
to.
Remember that.
I'm gonna open up IMDb. Not Wikipedia though. We're gonna let him
Clover.
Stay. Cloverfield. He produced. Yeah, I liked that a lot.
I did too.
He directed the pilot for Lost.
Yeah, I already knew that. I'm looking for director, 11 titles. He directed the new Star Trek movie, Star Trek Into Darkness.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. He directed the pilot for Undercovers. I did not even watch that.
I didn't either. I don't even remember hearing about it.
It looks like he did not direct anything with Fringe. He directed two episodes of Felicity.
Oh. He was man on phone saying Joey's Pizza in an episode of Alias.
He directed an episode of The Office.
Yeah.
Cocktails.
So yes, when it comes to movies, so far he's done a fairly decent job.
And he knows to, I mean, he finds good movies as far as producing. Revolution, I did not watch anything beyond the second episode of that series.
But he's a
producer
either.
On that. But like you said, he does just have so much on his plate.
Well, I mean, with movies, you have to look at Super 8 and the last Star Trek movie and Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much what you're looking at.
And he's not writing this movie. Who is writing this? This is the guy who wrote Little Miss Sunshine. Is that what that's called?
But no, they've got all the writers.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
It's the guy. It's Mark Michael Arndt, who worked on. He wrote. He's writing Star Wars Episode 7. He wrote the Phineas and Ferb movie that's cool. Coming out. That's in pre-production right now.
Awesome.
He wrote Hunger Games: Catching Fire. He wrote Little Miss Sunshine. He worked with he co-wrote Toy Story 3. He did some work on Brave and then Oblivion.
Yeah.
Oblivion.
Do you know who they got writing the next one, the middle one?
Of Star Wars?
Yeah.
No.
The one who wrote Empire Strikes Back.
I did hear about that.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. I'm not going to remember his name.
Lawrence Kasdan directed.
So, okay. So are we all on board with this then? If this is happening, we're all pretty pleased that this is happening, right?
Did you just say Michael Bay?
Michael Bay.
Yeah, if there was a list of people I wouldn't want to direct any franchise I cared about, it'd be Michael Bay. If there was a My Little Pony franchise, I'd say, hey, Michael Bay, go direct the My Little Pony franchise.
I would pay money to see Michael Bay directing My Little Pony.
I might see
that. I would pay full ticket price opening day to see that movie. I will not go and see Mutant Ninja Turtles, which, by the way, last time we talked, it's on.
No, is he doing it again?
It's on again, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know if it was ever off. I thought I'd heard it was off, but it's on. So
I'm so miserable about that.
But can you imagine a Michael Bay My Little Pony movie? That would be awesome.
No. My Little Pony! If Michael Bay did Star Wars, he'd basically center it on the Ewoks. They'd all blow up internally. There'd be lots of music. He would write out that Luke ever existed. It's all about Han Solo and Leia. They're old news.
But here's the question as far as Michael Bay directing Star Wars. How would you be able to do the cool walk away from the explosion like it doesn't even matter when it's exploding in space? You know, they blow up the Death Star. You can't walk away.
No.
Like it's
no,
cool.
No. Okay, look, if he took the Ninja Turtles and made them aliens, he would say Star Wars isn't in space. It's on Earth. It's really in Nebraska.
The Redwood Forest, where they shot all the stuff for Endor, is actually where it was happening. Exactly. And the Ewoks are actually like little Bigfoots.
Yeah.
Actually, that'd be kind of cool. Little Bigfoot.
You know, Michael Bay actually played a hero in Mystery Men.
Are you on? You're looking up Michael Bay on IMDb?
Yeah. He played Frat Boy when they were.
We're way off topic, man. We are way off topic.
I love IMDb.
Okay, so let me ask you this, guys. If you could choose a couple directors aside from Michael Bay who you would not want touching Star Wars, who would it be?
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay and.
No, George Lucas. No, I think George Lucas's biggest strength is he's a visionary. I think he's best when he creates and he's part of the story process and he creates like the big picture storylines, but he finds people who are better directors and better writers than he is. I think that's where he's at his best.
I disagree somewhat with that, but I don't know if it's because he's old now. The problem is because THX 1138 is a strong movie.
Yeah, but it's different when Star Wars is his baby and he just keeps tweaking it.
Well, he tweaked THX 1138 too. There's a director's cut that has like new special effects and everything.
Yeah, I think it shows in Empire Strikes Back where he got better writers and better directors and it's the best of the entire franchise.
I agree.
Actually, I forgot one other director that I would have been excited about directing Star Wars. Peter Jackson.
I don't know.
But he'd break every episode up into three or four, you know, little movies. So it'd be, you know, 7.1, 7.2, 7.3.
That's fine with me. The more Star Wars, the better.
Peter Jackson's Star Wars would be interesting. He wouldn't have to do the running shots of them running across the land because they could just get in their spaceship and drive there very quickly.
Just all CGI.
So the movies would actually be much shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are there any other directors you wouldn't want to see?
Well, that's what I was trying to think. I mean, honestly,
Roger Christian.
I don't even.
He did Battlefield Earth. So enough.
Okay. Oh yeah.
I would be very interested in seeing what a Steven Spielberg Star Wars movie would be like.
I was just about to say that. I would be surprised if Spielberg doesn't direct one of them because there's talks about that.
I don't know. I think he's against it just because of the amount of work that goes into working within someone else's universe. Instead of creating one whole cloth.
Yeah.
You know, when he's doing Lincoln, for example, which I haven't seen, but I've heard great things about, which I need to see it, but
I saw it.
When he's doing Lincoln, he's the driving force behind it. He has to stay true to historical, you know, reality. But,
but he redid that for Daniel Day-Lewis. So he's used to he did it for Daniel Day-Lewis because originally the original script had a lot more to do with the Civil War and Daniel Day-Lewis said no. And so he went back to the drawing board until he finally said yes.
Yeah. But that's not the same thing as being beholden to a franchise and a canon and, you know, I mean, but J.J. Abrams has proven he can do that. I mean, he did Star Trek 2009. And he's saying, you know, I'm going to make a movie that is completely different, new universe, but that also pays homage to all the stuff that went before. And it's a reboot and a sequel at the same time and a prequel at the same time. I mean, he's. Yeah. And he was not writing that one, which is the other thing that with J.J. Abrams, he's working with someone else's script and someone has a pretty strong track record. I mean, Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
And Little Miss Sunshine I've not seen.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed with the writers that Disney has laid down already for these scripts.
Although, really, Oblivion has 5 writing credits on it. Although 2 of them are from the original comic book. Okay. So he might have been the cleanup writer here on that movie. I'm curious about Oblivion. That looks really good, by the way.
Yeah, but have you ever seen the comparisons of Oblivion and After Earth, how they are look like they're a rip off of the same movie?
It's hilarious.
Even their posters look the same.
No, it's like you know, this happens almost every year where you have Deep Impact and Armageddon, the asteroid movies. And then you
Tombstone.
Yeah. Titanic originally was going to be another Titanic movie. Yeah. They folded it into James Cameron's because they realized there's no way that we can do anything.
And then one year you had Braveheart, Rob Roy, and Dragonheart.
Yeah. And then you had Kevin Costner's Robin Hood. 20th Century Fox had another Robin Hood that they were doing that they ended up putting on TV because they just knew it wasn't going to be able to hold a candle to this other one. I mean, it happens often. It's just very funny that when it does, I find it funny. I might be the
only one. And sometimes things come out that have like absolutely nothing to do with each other, but they still put them. Like there was a movie. What was the name of it? It was like 9, and then there was another movie called like Number 9 or something. And two completely different things. And Avatar and The Last Airbender.
Yeah, they had to change The Last Airbender, who had the name first.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Last Airbender is Avatar.
Yeah, exactly. So,
They didn't copyright that name fast enough, I guess.
Well, we did have some people respond to us on Facebook. So, Shazbot, would you come on over here and let's open up our hailing frequencies here.
Hailing frequencies open.
We've got a couple different people. Tom Holste. Tom, you made it in just under the line. Actually, I got your message while we were recording here, and here is what Tom had to say about J.J. Abrams.
In making Trek single quote 09, Abrams ironically made the best Star Wars movie since 1983. I loved it, but I know a lot of Trek fans who hate it. If Abrams switches over to Star Wars since he's more naturally inclined to tell that kind of story anyway, it's win-win for everyone.
I think we need to start calling that Star Trek movie Star Trek single quote 09, like Twitterbot says here. Sorry, Shazbot.
09.
And then here's another one.
Carl T. Rogers said, quote, didn't he shoot down rumors about this last week? Why the sudden turnaround? Also, I remember him saying early on he wouldn't want to direct SW because he's already directing Star Trek and wouldn't want to mix those genres and aesthetics together. Agreed. Unquote.
SW?
Star Wars.
I know, but doesn't Twitterbot know the SW mean Star Wars?
No, Shazbot. Who's this Twitterbot you're talking about?
Just the guy there who used to be Shazbot.
No, he doesn't know what SW stands for. He's just saying it.
Don't call
Travis Dazem Reel said the following, I think it'll be a good thing. The Trek single quote 09 had a bit more of a Star Wars feel. We just have to pray that they don't have as much lens flare.
The lens flare.
Lens flare.
I wonder if anyone, you know, in 10 years, if they're going to look back on the lens flare and be like, why would he choose to do that? What's the stylistic choice behind a lens flare? And if it's going to be just, you know, a common style thing.
Yeah, sure. Like the shaky cam. Everyone was like, the shaky cam is going to make me feel sick. And now it's like you can't go to a movie without the shaky cam.
You know what? I think I've shared this in one of our podcasts. You know, because you see a lot of shaky cam, especially in like adventure films or action films. And I believe I have said this before, but do you know one of the reasons they do that? To hide actors who are really bad fighters.
Well, yeah, the quick cuts that's not a new thing because
no, but the, even the shaky cam when for instance this person was talking about the Bourne movies because this guy's a professional stunt person. I mean, I could tell you the movies, but he would be upset that I shared his name in relation to this. But he's saying that shaky cam hides people who can't really are not good with the combat fighting for film, so they use that to hide their inadequacies.
Wow.
Well, as a style, as a stylistic thing, it works to bring a more frenetic, mood to the scene anyway.
Yeah, and well, it hides bad acting.
It also hides bad effects.
Yes, it does.
Honestly, I mean, it hides bad practical effects. You're not going to notice as well that, you know, in Braveheart, when they cut that guy's arm off, that it doesn't look like a real arm because it's just such a quick thing.
Yeah. So,
I think the most effective use of that was in Saving Private Ryan. For me, when they're storming the beach and you have the shaky cam there, it feels like you're just in the middle of chaos.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm forgiving of things like that. Somewhat. The lens flare, I didn't mind until everyone started talking about it. And then now I can't not see. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one.
I like them, actually. So,
did you see someone cut a trailer of the original Wrath of Khan? The original Wrath of Khan commercial, they cut it with lens flares. And like, it just had lens flares all over the place. It was really, really funny.
That's bad. So,
lightsabers and lens flares. So let's see. So Tom, he's very positive about this. And then Travis says he thinks it's a good thing. Carl, I think Carl's coming more on the negative side of this.
Carl T. Rogers, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Let me tell me what Carl did. He's one of my students. If
he said
he says something out of line, I could fail him.
Oh, no. He was one of the... He's the middle one. Here he is.
Carl T. Rogers said, quote, "Didn't he shoot down rumors about this last week? Why the sudden turnaround? Also, I remember him saying early on he wouldn't want to direct SW because he's already directing Star Trek and wouldn't want to mix those genres and aesthetics together. Agreed." Unquote.
So basically, Carl is agreeing with JJ's original statements that he didn't want to mix Star Wars and Star Trek.
Right.
So, my thing is, we've already got, you know, E.T. and Star Wars have already got a crossover. I mean, I'm okay with it.
And Star Wars Alien.
Like, if someone's sitting there telling me that Joss Whedon can go and clean up the mess, which was Transformers, and redo that franchise, and then he decides he wants to do G.I. Joe as well, I'm like, go for it. I'm like, I love those franchises. Go and make them better.
Yeah, I think that we can all agree this is a good thing, if it's true. So I'm going to say this is a 90% good thing until tomorrow when we can actually hear both from Disney and from J.J. Abrams. Because, like I said, everything I read, Disney didn't say anything. J.J. Abrams didn't say anything.
It might be one of those things where he really wanted it, but he played like he didn't want it because, you know, maybe they were offering it to Steven Spielberg or Joe Johnston or somebody else. And then finally they're like, okay, J.J., it's yours. And he's like, oh,
fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Fine, J.J. You can have your Star Wars movie.
You do your little Star Wars thing.
You go over there and pretend like you don't even like us. But you're only, you know, I tried that once and it did not work. Yeah. You know,
okay, listen,
that girl.
Disney, I don't want anything to do with Star Wars or any of it.
Yeah. Nice try, Dr. Jace.
I know.
I tried it. It didn't work. I tried to pretend I didn't like the girl and she just thought I didn't like her. And then she didn't like me. So it just doesn't work in real life. But this is Hollywood.
But Ben, maybe girls are different than producers. You know, like
I don't think they are.
Producers.
I don't.
No,
think
they're exactly the same.
Yeah,
they're exactly the same.
The metaphor is a perfect metaphor. There is no exception to the rule here.
Or unless they're English, and then Steve has something else to say about that.
Then they're just all slothful.
Right. Yeah.
Gosh. I can't believe I brought that up.
How about this one, Steve? Steve, what about
another episode?
What about Christopher Nolan doing Star Wars?
Do you regret that, Steve? Do you regret saying that?
I don't regret it because I didn't say that. Okay. Christopher Nolan and Star Wars, I think it would make it too deep. You can't have it, you know, too brainy. It's and you know, not to say that Star Wars fans aren't brainy enough, but you know, it's for kids, and you have to remember that. So once you get going too deep, like with the council and the Senate and all that stuff, and the blockade of the planet, and it just you start to lose the kids, and that's what's going to bring in, you know, dollar, yo.
Well, J.J. Abrams, I mean, he's the other thing is he's one of the few directors with a brand behind his name that's almost equal to the brand behind the movie in this case.
Wait, are you saying Star Trek is not as big of a brand as Star Wars?
I'm saying J.J. Abrams is a brand name that will bring people to the theaters that might not come to see a Star Wars movie. He's a big enough name that people who would wait for it to go on video might come into the theater instead.
Yeah, I can see that.
There aren't too many names. Okay, if I direct a Star Wars movie, there will be people who come to see it just because it's Star Wars, even though some Yahoo in Indiana directed it. If it's an official Star Wars movie, they'll go and see it. There are very few people who would go and see it because, oh, Ben did that. Ben Avery. Yeah. But when you put J.J. Abrams behind this, there are people who will go and take it more seriously or say it's going to be a fun movie because he did that Star Trek movie that we liked, even though we hate Star Trek and think Star Trek is for geeks, but he made a good one.
Even though it's been like 4 years, and it's 4 years is an eternity.
Well, except that the Star Trek movie is coming out this year, and so between Star Trek Into Darkness and Star Wars, it's only 2 years.
Yeah,
it's 2013 to 2015, and so what I'm saying is he's a marquee name,
and I think we have enough sci-fi to get us to that point.
Oh, there's lots. This is going to be another year that's going to be tough for my pocketbook. Not that I use a pocketbook. I have a wallet, but
sure,
it's going to be tough for that, too.
Keep the wallet in the pocketbook, don't
you? Yes. Yeah. My man purse. So. Well, I think we need to wrap things up, but do we all agree? I think we all agree. This is a good thing.
I agree.
Good.
On a 1 through 10, 10 being elated and 1 being Michael Bay, where do you rank this in your excitement of this announcement?
Wait, can you say that again? It was kind of fading out.
On a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being this is the greatest thing possible, and 1 being, oh, Michael Bay, where would you rank this?
I would rank this as a solid 8.
I'd probably go with the 7, just because I'm not as huge a J.J. Abrams fan as other people.
I am a huge J.J. Abrams fan. I was telling Steve before we recorded, there was a weekend, the weekend that Star Trek came out, that week was dominated by J.J. Abrams, because you had a Fringe episode that week and you had a Lost episode that week. And they were important episodes one way or another. And I just remember driving to Star Trek then and thinking, man, J.J. Abrams owns my life this week. So
that's a lot of control, Ben. I would say that I would put it, as far as best case scenario, I put it in an 8 or a 9, because I could only think of a handful of people I would put in the same category. Steven Spielberg, Joss Whedon, and I don't know, maybe that's about it. Oh, no, I'll tell you someone that I think would have been an underdog role for this is on the director of the first Iron Man, Jon Favreau.
Yeah, he directed both, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, but the first one was the only good one.
Nice. So you want the Jon Favreau who directed the first Iron Man instead of the guy who directed the second one, Jon Favreau, right?
Exactly.
You know, the article, one of the articles that I found when J.J. Abrams was denying that he was going to do this was also, it was paired up with him and Jon Favreau both denying it together.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I think we're going to wrap things up then. Thanks guys for geeking out this evening. And next episode is going to be our interview with the movie makers behind Remember, a Christian independent film. Cool. And I say movie makers because that's actually their production company. It's called Movie Makers.
So they have to
make movies, yes. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening, and Godspeed, everyone.
You've been listening to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Okay, wait a minute. I cannot believe that I forgot the most important part of this news. If this is true, if J.J. Abrams is directing, that means Michael Giacchino is doing the music. We are going to get a Star Wars score by Michael Giacchino. I just had to drop back in and mention that little tidbit. That's pretty awesome. Godspeed.
Our music was written, recorded, and mixed by Tim Luffel. Visit our website, www.strangesandaliens.com, where we have reviews, articles, and links. We want to hear from you. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/strangersandaliens. We're on Twitter, where we are under the name Strange and Alien. You can contact us through our website by writing a message or leaving us a voicemail using your computer's microphone or emailing us at podcast@strangersandaliens.com. Finally, you can call us and leave a message. Our number is 1-840-37-ALIEN. That's 1-840-372-5436. Thank you for listening.
And I just used a record scratch. Oh, well.